And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Psalm 97, verse 1 says, "The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitude of isles be glad thereof." Verse 6, "The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the people see his glory. Confounded be all they that serve graven images, that boast themselves of idols. Worship him, all ye gods. Zion heard and was glad, and the daughters of Judah rejoiced because of thy judgments, O Lord, for thou art Lord. Thou art high above all the earth. Thou art exalted far above all gods. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivers them out of the hand of the wicked." Now, verse 11 and 12 of Psalm 97. "Light is sown for the righteous, and gladness for the upright in heart. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness." With those scriptures from Psalm 97, I want to welcome you to today's edition of The Awakening. My name is Alex McFarland. I'm very, very honored and very humbled, actually, to be sitting in for Bishop E.W. Jackson. Bishop Jackson is a dear friend and a colleague and someone for whom I have so much respect and appreciation. And whenever he's on the road traveling and sometimes I get asked to sit in for him, big shoes to fill. Very honored to do it. Don't feel worthy of it, but quite honored to do that. I want to give the number because I want to hear from you. If you love God and country, it's been a big weekend. A lot going on. I want to talk to you. What are your thoughts? What are your impressions of where we are spiritually? And just several things to talk about. But the number is 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Let's sort of have a fireside chat this hour together. And I welcome you to participate in the discussion here on the American Family Radio Network. Alex McFarland here. I'm on the road actually in Orlando, Florida. I'm coming to you from a church called Liberty Baptist Church. Just had the privilege, Randy and everybody, had the privilege of speaking for 2 hours to pastors. And we talked about worldview, how we are in a battle of worldviews. But really, we talked about revival and seeking the Spirit of God to send a great awakening to our country. This show is called The Awakening, and so we pray God will do that. But if you have heard my voice before, chances are it was at a place we call Exploring the Word every day, 3 to 4 p.m. Central, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern on Exploring the Word, the AFR Network, and Bert Harper and I. We begin the book of John today, and I want to tell you some things going on, and then let's talk about the situation, as we say down south where I'm from, the situation. Let's analyze things. As you all know, the media, national and international, is congratulating President-elect, they say, Joe Biden. And, you know, while we're going to let the legal and constitutional protocols run their course, I mean, you know, in actuality, strict letter of the law, he is not yet the president-elect, not yet the president. And Biden has not officially won, nor has Trump officially lost. And as agonizing as it might be, we've got to let things take their course. And I want to encourage everybody, please, as we let things take their course, pray. If, like myself, you love this country, and you believe that we need less government, not more government, if you believe that we need to recover our moral foundations, if you believe that we need to care about sanctity of life and there should be some legal protection for the unborn, if you believe principled capitalism, not socialism, is the economic pathway for the betterment of our country and the world. In other words, if you believe, like Vice President Mike Pence said, that the election is not between two candidates, it's between two different futures. The election is not between two different individuals, but two different world views. And if you believe that the worldview that our founders espoused and the worldview that made America into the greatest nation in history, and for two centuries plus was our worldview, we call it the Judeo-Christian worldview. If you believe that that would be a better path than the deconstruction of America, the abolition of family, socialism, relativism, if you believe it should be America, not some subset of the UN, then I want you to pray. I want you to fervently pray while this recount and the legal procedures go on. The election is not over. I know it might look like it, and I know it might be that the news media presumes it is, but it's not over yet. We're going to take calls, 888-589-8840, the American Family Radio Network, Alex McFarland here. First, we're going to go to the place where I get great barbecue. We're going down to Texas. Joanne in Texas. Joanne, are you there?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Thank you for holding, and welcome to The Awakening. How are things in the Lone Star State?
Pretty good. I mean, we're so blessed down here, and God has been so good to us with storms and, you know, Louisiana, poor Louisiana's been catching it, but we are blessed no matter what. And
well,
my thoughts have been,
Go ahead. I want to hear.
Okay. My thought has been, my spirit just keeps coming back to, I think it's in 2 Kings where the Lord, the people were so impatient that God gave them who they wanted, and look at all the trouble they got in. Look what rained on them. And, you know, I think that's where we are right now. There was so much hatred for this man. No matter, I mean, even if he sneezed wrong, he got blamed for it. He got blamed for so much that they didn't give him a chance to really see what he was doing, you know? And they didn't listen to a lot of what the talk was, the underlying talk of the other candidate. And my only other thought is this. I'm glad he's disputing it because they keep saying that they won. Well, you can always dispute a lie, you know. If they won fairly, then we have to accept it. If they didn't, the lie is going to come out.
Yeah. You know, that's what I'm saying. Look, if Trump lost, fair enough. Just let's do this honestly. Let's do this constitutionally. You don't do wrong to do right. And we know the Biden-Harris campaign and the Democrat Party, they think they have the right worldview. Okay, fair enough. But you don't break the law to try to implement your worldview. In America, we follow the rule of law. And do you know what? A lot of people on both sides of the aisle have been saying, look, if we can't have honest elections, I mean, we don't really have a country. Joanne in Texas, thank you so much. We're going to keep hearing from you. 888-589-8840. Let's go to David, I believe, in Iowa. David, do I have the state correct? Are you in Iowa? Okay. Oh, we don't have to. Oh, okay. Folks, don't go away. I hear that break. I hear that music. Folks, I'm going to give you some information. I think it's going to be pretty informative, inspiring, hopefully motivational. In this hour, Alex McFarland here on The Awakening for Bishop E.W. Jackson. Don't go away. We've got calls. We want to hear from you. What's going on in America? What are your thoughts? What are your prayers? What are your hopes for the next few days and weeks? Stay tuned. We're back after this.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
Yesterday, I talked about critical race theory and summarized some of the analysis by Dr. Doug Grotius in his article, America, Critical Theory and Social Crisis. One of the key points he makes is the claims of critical race theory are unfalsifiable. It becomes impervious to counter evidence and thus cannot be rationally defended. In a recent article by James Lindsay, he argues for racial healing, reject critical race theory. He starts with a thought experiment that shows how unpractical and confusing this theory becomes in everyday life. He says we should imagine we own a small shop, perhaps a tailor shop, where you have to assist each customer individually. You are the sole proprietor and can only serve one customer at a time. Now imagine two people enter your store at exactly the same time. One is white and the other is black. Which customer do you help first? If you choose to serve the black person first, critical race theory would argue that you did so because you didn't trust the black person to be in your store unattended while you helped the other customer. That means you're acting according to racial stereotypes and chose poorly. If you choose to serve the white person instead, then you are demonstrating your racist bias. Choosing to help the white person shows that you favor white people and consider them first-class citizens. Once again, you have chosen poorly. By now, I think you can see the dilemma created by the philosophy of critical race theory. It's a classic heads I win, tails you lose. There is no right choice in this example. No matter what you do, you will always be wrong and thus be condemned as being racist. I think this illustration provides one more reason why critical race theory will not promote racial healing. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of the booklet, A Biblical View on Pornography, go to viewpoints.info/pornography. That's viewpoints.info/pornography.
Parents are especially guilty of this minor offense, making promises to their children. We say, "Sweetheart, I have to miss your recital tonight because of work, but I promise I'll be at the next one." Promises add little to life except heightened expectations and sometimes deeper disappointments. Saying, "I promise," is like shouting to emphasize a doubtful statement, like a preacher who pounds the pulpit when he knows his words are weak. Instead, we should let our faithfulness and our performance speak for themselves. Jesus said we're better off not making promises. Instead, we should let our yes be yes and our no be no. This is David Jeremiah encouraging you to get on the road to new life. Discover how God keeps his word on Route 66.
Route 66, driving the word home. Log on to Route66Life.com. Start your journey home today.
Brian Fisher here. Pfizer says its coronavirus vaccine appears 90% effective. It's the only vaccine developed without using cells from aborted babies. The question is, will everyone be ordered to receive it even against conscience? And more voter irregularities in the presidential election that call for investigations and lawsuits. Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Welcome back to the program. Alex McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, by the way, I do want to remind you, I'm going to be back at the Cove, the Billy Graham Training Center at the Cove, Asheville, North Carolina, June 25 through 27. I know that's a long way away, but we're going to go through the book of Acts, and we're going to talk about spiritual awakening in our times, and we certainly need it. And folks, I'm going to get to your calls right now, but let me just remind you to stay hopeful. You know, I was on a show with Eric Metaxas about 2 weeks ago, and we were talking about how Marxists, when Marxists go into a country, they go with a 100-year plan. And we Christians, look, I know Christ is coming back. The rapture, the return of Jesus may happen really soon. But just in case it doesn't, for our kids and grandkids, let's be hopeful. Let's be positive. Let's have absolute assurance in our risen Savior and His eternal word. And let's realize that truth wins. And when we serve Jesus, we're on the side of truth. I'll come back to that. And so I'd love to see you. The website is thecove.org, C-O-V-E. And register. And next June, hey, let's gather, let's pray. We're going to look at the book of Acts, and we're going to get a roadmap for revival for our nation in our times. We're going to go back to David in Iowa. That break ran over us, David, but welcome to The Awakening. Very glad to have you, my friend.
Hey, Alex, how are you?
Good, good to hear from you.
I just, I've got so much bottled up inside of me that wants to come out, so I'm going to try and condense it First of all, I want to say thank you. I listen to you and Bert and your teaching and just your commentary, everything. Thank you for a well-balanced, sound information that we get from you. I appreciate that.
To God be the glory.
Amen. First of all, I want to say, you know, the vote in America, I don't want to go too far on that. It's just the vote cannot be trusted with the mail-in voting. I didn't trust it from the beginning. That being said, should the courts go, should this go to the Supreme Court and they make their ruling, we're going to have to live with that. And we move on from there. But
exactly.
I don't think change is going to happen at the polls. It's going to happen in the church and it's going to happen in the pulpit because, in my opinion, it is the church that has gotten so weak that has allowed the country to fail. And for a number of different reasons, and you talk a lot about it. You know what I'm talking about. But I think that's my greatest prayer is that we have a reformation, an awakening in the country that brings people back to God, and that will change the government in a heartbeat. So,
hey, by the way, did you happen to see, now listen up, everybody, I beg of you, and many people are going to know exactly what I'm talking about. Did you see a viral video over the weekend by Father Frank Meeks called Steering into the Abyss? And it's a priest in Maryland, and he puts the smack down on Joe Biden for claiming to be a Catholic, yet being pro-abortion. Joe Biden breaking the law, not to mention the church law, by performing a gay wedding. And David, did you happen to see that? Speaking of the church doing things right, did you see this viral video? Like 2.3 million people watched it just in the last 3 days. Did you happen to see that?
I didn't see it, but that's my feeling on that's it exactly. If somebody it can't vote for life, they can't. I mean, he says he wants to go by science. The science is overwhelming that a person is a person from birth. You know, even Dr. Seuss said a person is a person no matter how small. Well, that's right from conception. And
exactly.
But I did not see it, but I don't know how somebody can vote for Biden and still know that that's
and claim to be a Christian. And let me say this, folks. Please, it is well worth your time. And as you know, anything we recommend, any book, any video, that does not necessarily constitute endorsement of everything that person ever says or does. But, you know, there's a lot of info out there. But listen, Google this video. The priest is in a green vestment with a red background, and it's called Staring into the Abyss. And you will be amening. It is so powerful. It is so strong. The other thing that I want to say, and David from Iowa, thank you so much. And we're going to go to Joyce in Louisiana here in a minute. But it is time the church, and I'm talking about preachers, and I've been a pastor. I know the fine line of diplomacy. Pastors think they have to walk sometimes. But brother pastors, church leaders, we have got to tell a lost world, hey, look, we love you. We love you unconditionally. But the Word of God is our authority. And if you reject Jesus, you are lost. If you claim to be a Christian, but you're for homosexuality, abortion, transgenderism, evolution, if you claim to be a Christian, and yet you promote teachings that are unbiblical, unchristlike, and ungodly, you can attach any label you want. Based on the Word of God, you're not a Christian. And I'll give you one scripture, Luke 6:46. Christ himself asked this rhetorical question. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, but don't do the things I say?" Matthew 7:21-24. Many will say in that day, "Lord, Lord, we named your name. You know, we did many wonderful works." Jesus says, "I never knew you." So it is time for the church, as my late friend Chuck Colson said, we are to be the conscience of the culture. I want to go to Louisiana. Joyce, are you there? Joyce, thanks for holding. You're on. Hey, you might want to turn your radio down so it won't, like, echo, but can you hear me, Joyce?
Yes, I can hear you. I turned my radio off.
Oh, thanks. So, talk to us.
I'm just amazed at the work the Democrats done. They actually orchestrated our life as a movie by, before the election, they kept telling us that Joe Biden was ahead, despite the fact that the Republicans did so much to prove he wasn't, that kind of stuff. And look at his crowds versus Trump's and all of that. So, you know, they did that, and then they started spending time showing how Biden was going to win the election, which states were red, which were blue, and how the few states, what Biden had to do to get enough to make the magic number, and just on and on. And now they're going on saying he won, Trump can't take it, Republicans can't take it, and so they're making a big deal out of nothing and all of this. And then I think about how the Democrats acted last election, and they never got over it. They have fought Trump every day of his presidency, and so they're really trying to indoctrinate people and make us believe that we were mistaken.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it a classic... I would say bully tactics, but really like mafia tactics, intimidation, and thank you, Joyce. I mean, the three, triumvirate, the evil trinity: news media, social media, and secular education. I mean, the news media has been at best slanted liberal, anti-Trump, and at worst people like Don Lemon with Trump derangement syndrome. So there's been the Democrat Party. They really should pay large sums of money to the news media that, and even at times Fox, that has basically been a marketing arm for the Biden-Harris campaign. Then social media censorship. How convenient that you've got Twitter and Facebook and Instagram that just will selectively censor Trump when they don't like it. By the way, there's a on. MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology, they have a website, the MIT Technology Review, and MIT even, and they're a secular entity, but there's an article called Why Social Media Can't Keep Moderating Content in the Shadows, and it says online platforms aren't transparent about their decisions, which leaves them open to claims of censorship, which are true, and MIT Technology Review says that social media censorship masks the true cost of misinformation. Friend, you know, obviously people post things online and you know, they'll get things wrong or misspeak. But here's the thing. When you've got national figures on all sides of the worldview spectra, but you've got national figures and clearly Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, the social media titans are overwhelmingly left-leaning, pro-socialism, anti-traditional marriage, anti-morals, and they just selectively censor. That is a thing that we have got to, as a voting populace, the electorate has got to wean itself off social media or go to the emerging platforms like Parler that actually allow free speech. Friend, do you understand if you're getting a significant portion of your news from Twitter and Facebook, you know you are not participating in free speech. And then finally, and I could talk about this more, secular education. Now, I know we've got Helen from New York and Jerry from Texas, Ruth from Virginia. We're going to get to you. We are. So stay tuned. The Awakening is back in a moment. Alex McFarland here subbing for E.W. Jackson. 888-589-8840. Let's talk about the election. Let's talk about the country. Let's talk about the future. Stay tuned. We're back after this.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
In the 6th century B.C. lived a man by the name of Aesop. He was an extremely wise man in a very practical sort of way. He was a master storyteller whose stories carried with them a great principle. Many of his stories have been preserved and are circulated throughout the world to this very day. One of his stories had to do with a man who had accumulated a great deal of wealth. Instead of spending his wealth to make life more enjoyable for himself, and instead of giving his wealth away to make life more enjoyable for others, he cashed in his wealth and put it all in gold. The man took his gold and went into a forest near his home and buried it in the ground. Then each day he would walk out to where the gold was, dig it from the ground, and handle it. He would spend most of his time polishing the gold and keep it shining. After polishing the gold, he would wrap it back up, place it back in the ground, and cover it up again. Day after day, the man would go through the same routine. Go to the woods, dig up the gold, polish it, look at it, admire it, and then replace it. The man was indeed proud of his wealth. One day another man heard about the gold. He hid in the woods and waited. When the rich man passed, the second man followed him at a distance. He hid himself behind a tree and watched as the miser dug up his gold, polished it, and admired it. He watched as the man placed it back into the ground. When the miser left, the second man remained, hiding behind the tree. When the miser had gone out of view, the second man went to where the gold was, dug it up, and placed all the gold in a bag and escaped with it. The next day, the miser made his way back to where he kept the gold buried. Upon arriving, he noticed that someone had stolen his gold. The miser began to scream at the top of his voice, "Someone has stolen my gold! Someone has stolen my gold!" Others who heard him screaming came running to see what the trouble was. When the miser was questioned about it, he told those who had come what had happened. One man in the crowd asked the miser what he planned to do with the gold. "Do with it? Do with it? What do you mean, what did I plan to do with it? I wasn't planning to do anything with it. I was only going to keep it and admire it." "Well, if that's the case," replied the other man, "why don't you simply put some rocks in the hole and admire them? They will serve the same purpose." You know, money is only a means to an end, not an end in itself. You should use your money to benefit yourself and others. And if you don't plan to do that with your money, then get yourself some rocks. They aren't nearly as expensive and are a whole lot less likely to be lost or stolen. After all, rocks are as good as gold to hoard.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Alex McFarland sitting in for Bishop E.W. Jackson. The Awakening is the program, 888-589-8840. We're going to try to get as many calls as we can in. So can we go to Helen in New York? Do we have Helen in New York? David in Texas. Let's hear from you, brother. Jerry. Okay, we got it now. Jerry in Texas.
Hello, Alex. Hey, it's great to
talk
to you.
Hi, Jerry. Thanks for holding.
Yeah, Alex, I'm thinking from the biblical perspective. We know that God's got things ordained for Israel, and it may be that Trump has caused some of those things to happen, such as the peace plans that are set into place. We also know that God has ordained that Israel will face a war someday with no friends to stand behind her, and that's not likely to happen if Donald Trump is still in office for the next 4 years. It may only need a Biden campaign in order for that to happen. And then thirdly, what if this is not about us? What if Donald Trump being in the presidency for 4 years was just to put him into a circle of influence to help lead him to Christ in a manner that he would never receive in any other circumstance in his life if he were just a businessman? Just some things to think about biblically.
Hey, that is beautiful. That really is beautiful. And, you know, I appreciate that. And one point you make, and you do it well, is that we are to look at things biblically. We really are, and that we should, you know, have a long view of things. That I mean, today's temporal disappointment is tomorrow's blessing. God, you know, I think when Obama went in and we began to look at socialized medicine, and Nancy Pelosi said, well, we've got to pass the bill and then we can read it and find out what's in it. You remember that? Those of us that are, you know, for responsible government, you know, we grow and pass a bill, then read it to find out what's in it. I mean, who does that? We could not have dreamed that such a great patriot would come along like Donald Trump, courageous, and yet he did. And so, folks, I'm with you. I'm with you, Jerry. Proverbs 21:1 says, the king's heart is in the Lord's hand, and like the rivers of water, he turns it whithersoever he will. Listen, God is sovereignly in control of history. And I'm so glad King Jesus is never up for re-election. And you are right, Trump has made a profession of faith several weeks ago. He talked about that in an email that went out from the White House, how Trump does know the Lord. He does. And, you know, you're right. I mean, maybe this was a rather circuitous set of circumstances and relationships. Dr. Jeffers, Dr. Dobson, and so many others, Franklin Graham and Tony Perkins, and so many that are in the president's most inner circle. And then, you know, some of us that on that faith board have been sort of in the fringes, but you're right, and maybe it's not about us, but because I know that God does preside over the fates of nations, and because I do know that, you know, Genesis 12, God told Abraham, I will bless them that bless thee and curse them that curse thee. I mean, I've said this, the best favor any president could ever do the American people is to be a friend to Israel. But we know there's going to be a time when Israel has nobody standing with her, and it might be, heaven forbid, but part of the way that prophecy will elapse is that America either completely folds, is taken over by a foreign country, or the UN, or maybe America ceases to be a world power, which will definitely happen the farther down the abyss of socialism we travel. So I hear you, brother. We've got to keep the biblical view. I want to go, let's see, Randy, can we go to Ruth in Virginia? Can we do that? Ruth? Ramona in Oklahoma. Ramona, welcome to The Awakening. Ramona, are you there?
Hello, Ramona, hello. Ramona in Oklahoma.
Yes. Is that you?
Yes.
Thanks for holding. Yes. What city?
Yes. I agree completely with the gentleman who just spoke, because I think God is behind Trump completely. And we have to see things in by God's point of view. But I also feel that we have a duty to expose evil, because when you don't expose it, you are siding with it, to me.
Complicit with it, yeah.
Right. It was on American Family Radio, and it was by the man after Bishop Jackson, I believe a Canadian man. He gave a sound bite, and I believe a Waylon Walker gave it also, a sound bite of Biden saying, this is before he went in the basement, that they had a foolproof way of counting ballots that would be fraudulent, that no one could hack into.
Mm-hmm.
And come
That's
to
right.
find out, Nancy Pelosi has invested in machines that were doing just that. As a matter of fact, they confiscated quite a few of them.
Yeah.
So that's what
right.
he was talking about. That's why they wanted him to go in the basement, because he keeps putting his foot in his mouth. Then I get a Facebook message from my sister in New Jersey that a man named Sanchez, who has been dead for 8 years, voted for Biden.
Oh, yeah.
And then also in Austin, Texas, I have a friend from Houston, and her daughter-in-law lives there. And she said she never told her who she voted for, but she said she was just, didn't know what to do, because she voted for Trump, and it showed when she looked it up that she had voted for Biden. And so a friend of mine who has her law degree and is at Stillwater, Oklahoma, the university there, told me to tell people to flood the Supreme Court, and she gave me the link, and tell the Supreme Court that we as the people who rule this country, not the judges, not the Democrats or the Republicans, whatever is honest, we will accept. But this corruption, we will not put up with. So she told me to don't post it on media, but post it just with friends that you know will do rightly with it, with this information, and flood the Supreme Court with that information.
Yeah. Well, I agree. And, you know, the very same liberal progressives that have relied on court decisions to overthrow the voice of the people. I mean, there have been voter ID laws in states where the vox populi said, okay, we want people to show an ID if they're going to vote. That's not an excessively burdensome request. If you're going to cast a vote for the leaders of the country, you need to show an ID. And continually, judges, many of whom are Obama-era judges, overturn the voter ID laws. And the voice of the people has been overridden, and the liberal progressives have relied on activist courts to do this. Okay, that same judicial sword can cut this way. The Supreme Court can look, and if it does go there, and I pray that it does, because listen, I'm saying this as a passionate conservative, Christian, and yes, Trump voter. We're not asking for unfair play. We're simply asking for an honest, even playing field and clear. Oh my goodness, we have gotten so many dozens, folks, dozens and dozens of emails and bits of correspondence from citizens, volunteers, and yes, elected officials talking about the, at best, irregularities and at worst, overt fraud. And I agree with one of the previous callers who said that, look, this election was not managed well. And what I think we have to do, and again, we need to talk to our elected officials and, yes, communicate with the Supreme Court. But look, voting needs to be in person with ID on election day. In person with ID on election day. It's so fuzzy and it's so nebulous and amorphous. Vote in early, mail it in early. In North Carolina, the Board of Elections that is populated entirely by Democrats, with buddies and friends and cronies running for office, the North Carolina Board of Elections, do you know what? In North Carolina, they can still receive ballots up to November 12th. I mean, isn't that insane? The election was November 3rd, and now who's overseeing the election board and who's watching these mail-in ballots that are coming from who knows where? Nobody but the election board, 100% Democrat. Bad form. Not cool. Hey, stay tuned, folks. I know we've got callers on hold. Don't hang up. We're going to come back to you. We're going to pray for our country, turn to God, and look for the awakening we so desperately need. On this edition of The Awakening. Stay tuned.
American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com.
A prayer. Lord God, thank you for using American Family Radio to share your truth and love in this increasingly tumultuous time. Please don't let our love grow cold as we see wickedness increasing. Help us stand firm for you even to the end. Help us to preach the gospel of your kingdom to the whole world as a testimony. Help us to make the most of this platform you have given us to promote your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for healthcare. And here's why. Not only is it time for open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also when you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For the typical family, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. Think what you could do with that. But if you join right now, MediShare is waiving their new member fees, so that's another $170 you'll save. And MediShare is really different. It's a community of Christians who share each other's healthcare bills. More than 400,000 people are members, and they've shared over $4 billion in medical bills. So, yes, they can handle your bills, too. This may be the time to make the switch. Join before November 30th for the additional savings. It's so easy to find out more. They're great to talk to. In fact, you can get a price within 2 minutes. Here's the number. Call 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE. 833-44-BIBLE.
Instagram and all these different apps, it feels like you're connected when you're using them.
Social media may not be the connection point you think it is, as Alyssa McKee describes on Focus on the Family Minute.
You know, you're talking to people who are your friends, whether they're far away or close, you feel closer to them. But the funny thing is often, you know, especially at my house, you know, with my roommates, I would find that I was there with them and either watching a movie, you know, we were trying to do something together, and all of a sudden I would look up and it was like they weren't there because they were communicating with other people who weren't there with us on their phones. And I felt like, okay, what about me? I'm actually in the room. And that's when I kind of started realizing, okay, we're connected, but we're disconnected from the people in the room.
More insights from Alyssa at familyminute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
You know, folks, Jefferson said, opposition to tyranny is an obligation before God. And I beg, I implore, I plead, everyone, if you love God and country, pray, fast and pray. I'm passionate, folks, about this country. Listen to this, folks, and I'm going to go to calls, but I was in the Punch Bowl Cemetery in the National Theater of the Pacific in Hawaii. I was there to preach, and we went to the cemetery. You know, after Pearl Harbor, so many died. Many of the bodies of the people in the Arizona are still there in the ship. But we went to the Punch Bowl Theater, walked around, saw all these graves of all these great Americans that died for you and me to have freedom. And I was walking around this cemetery. It was just so moving. And I looked down, and there was a monument. And, you know, there's thousands of names as far as the eye can see, the Punch Bowl Cemetery. And I look, and there's a grave, and it says, in honor of those known only to God. And I thought about this, and I knelt, and I said a prayer. Folks, you and I can pray prayers, and nobody might ever know it, but God does know it. And you and I can call an elected official, and we demand an honest recount, and we must fight. And look, MSNBC and CNN are not going to decide this election. And we are not going to let Democrat tyrants. Folks, you've got to understand, you say, well, gee, would they really go around the Constitution? Look, these people murder babies. Do you understand? Joe Biden performed a gay wedding, broke the law to do it. Kamala Harris, her first act as Attorney General of California was to break the law and perform a gay wedding. You've got to understand, we love these people, we pray for these people, I want Pelosi and Clinton and AOC and the Squad and Biden and Harris and Don Lemon, I want them to get saved. I don't want them to die and go to hell, but I want them to get saved. But at the same time, I'm not going to stand by passively and let them commandeer this country. And so, citizens, patriots, our founders sacrificed, risked all, and died to build an America in which the tyranny that the Democrats are trying to foment on the American people would not be tolerated. So, Benjamin Franklin said this, and we're going to go to calls. Benjamin Franklin said, everybody loves the fruits of freedom, but few are willing to tend the tree that bears the fruits. Folks, we got to get some skin in the game and pray for our nation, exert our influence, and we cannot let this election be stolen. Now, if if they count every legal legitimate vote, if legally Trump lost, fair enough. But we know right now this voting and counting has not been honest and forthright. I want to go to, Randy, help me out here. We're going to Wiley in Mississippi, correct? Wiley, you there?
Hi, I am.
Hi. Thanks for holding. Welcome to The Awakening.
Thank you. Two quick points, and then I'll hang up and listen off the air. Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, and you have rejected me. If another comes in his own name, him will you receive. The Pope, when the Pope went to the podium of the UN in September of 16, he walked up to the podium. The first thing out of his mouth was he said, I come in my own name. I don't know if that's prophetic or not. But anyway, then one other point. Just say the Democrats did win legitimately. How long can patriots, Christians, put up with a majority rule government when the ungodly is outnumbered the godly? At some point, you gotta put the government aside and go back to whatever it takes. I mean, you know, that's my opinion. And to me, that's where we at. We at a pendulum point in our government toward the ungodly. You know, God said in Deuteronomy 7:7, I didn't choose you because you're more numbered than any people, but I choose you because you're the fewest of all people. And Thomas Jefferson said, when a long trend of abuse exists in the government, it's not only your right, but it's your duty to throw off such government, whether you be in a majority or a minority. So, you know, that's where we're getting to in this country. But that's all I got to say.
God bless you. God bless you. And you know what, pastors, look, it is not only appropriate, but folks, it is essential that ministers preach on moral, social, and political issues. And I mean, we could take the entire show, but you know, pastors, this is what our pulpit is for. That's why, watch that video I mentioned, Staring into the Abyss. And boy, that's a great example of a minister in a very logical, cogent, respectful, yet powerful way talking about the responsibility of leaders to lead in a moral, godly way. Okay, great points, Wiley. May we go to Sherry in Texas? Are we there, Randy? Sherry in Texas?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, thank you for holding.
Hello.
Just curious, what part of Texas are you in?
I'm in North Texas, 30 minutes from Oklahoma.
Oh, okay. I know where that's kind of, isn't that sort of maybe over near Amarillo and Lubbock?
Oh, pretty far east of that. I'm between Sherman and Denton. Okay. Central North Texas, just north of Dallas, yeah.
You know, I love Texas. I mean, there are so many locales, so many different, you know, really geographies. Texas is just one of my favorite places. And whenever we get callers from Texas, I love to find out where in the state you are because it brings back memories of places I've gotten to go and preach. But Sherry, talk to us. What's on your mind today?
Okay. What I search and look, and of course, not anything on the usual media. I've had my TV pretty much turned off for a couple of years. I got rid of Dish. I only listen to AFR. AFR is my go-to for religious and prayerful instruction, and then also news. What
Bless
I
you.
Have found today on the internet is something very interesting about technology and this vote, this election. These five states, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Georgia, and Michigan, that are still in nebulous, they all stopped their vote count in the middle of the night. I think it was on the 3rd, the morning of the 4th. I'm not sure. But they all stopped for 3 hours. And when they came back on, votes had been switched. They said it's very hard to catch because they erase it some way from the technology. But if you watch on TV, you can see a count for Biden and a count for Trump. And then all of a sudden, up above, the count will be such and such, which agrees with the runner across the bottom. But then when they do this switching, the runner on the bottom stays as it was, but the count up above switches several mm-hmm. thousand, you know, whatever. And then it takes a few minutes for the runner below to get caught up to that. But it is a very elaborate group of people controlling these electronic votes. And yeah. I've always voted early for my own convenience, and it's a no-no. And in Texas, we had 3 weeks of early voting. Well, we showed out in droves. I mean, I didn't go the very first day, that Tuesday after Labor Day, but I've just, the outpouring has been unimaginable. But it gives the crooks time to evaluate the trend when we early vote. And then that gives them information so that they can use how much are they going to have to tweak the real vote on election day. And these companies are, one is in Barcelona, Spain, and this is used by 28 United States states. And we're being ripped off. People.
Well, let me say this about the manipulation of the media. And, you know, much has been written and said and speculated over the years about the time that would come when people are not allowed to really know truth, but the media is manipulated. Listen to this, folks. I'm from Greensboro, North Carolina. The Greensboro Coliseum is an 18,000-seat ACC basketball venue. Trump has filled it up many times. When Trump comes to Greensboro, he packs out the Greensboro Coliseum. Now just listen to this, folks. In 2016, Hillary came to Greensboro, and I was in Arkansas on the road preaching, and I turned it on. She was on C-SPAN, and it said the Greensboro Coliseum. But it wasn't. I instantly recognized it as the Park Gymnasium from UNC Greensboro, where I attended college. Okay, the Park Gymnasium might hold 1,000 people, maybe 1,200 people. So Hillary Clinton is on TV. The text on the screen says Greensboro Coliseum, Greensboro, North Carolina. And look, when people called her out on it, the Hillary campaign said, well, the Greensboro Coliseum didn't have the technical needs that we needed, so we had to move down the street a mile away to that gymnasium. Hey, false. Look, ESPN broadcasts a dozen events a year from the Greensboro Coliseum. I think they had the technical pipeline to put a rally on. Why did Hillary go to a venue that holds about 1,000 people versus the 18,500-seat basketball arena that Trump packs out every time he comes to town? Because, look, they didn't want to show her speaking to an ocean of empty seats. But yet, nobody was the wiser. Only people in Greensboro really know this. It made no news. But we're living in a time, folks, that you're going to have to do the hard work of digging and attending to the life of the mind. So much more to say. You know what? I've got 10 pages of notes for today's show. Didn't even get to it. But we will. Folks, pray for America. Just pray. God is in control. The God that paid for sin and conquered the grave, He can help us. So keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your heart pure before God. Stand for truth. Stand for America. Alex McFarland here. Thanks for listening. See you on Exploring the Word in 2 hours.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.